Good morning. It's good to be with you today and to be able to spend some time in God's Word and worshiping God. I appreciate the presence of everyone. I appreciate Phil leading our songs about heaven. We're going to both study about heaven and sing about heaven. So if you want to get your songbooks back out of the pew, we're going to sing this morning as a part of our sermon. These songs will not be on the PowerPoint, so you will need your songbook. And I'm looking forward to spending some time both studying God's Word and singing about heaven. We are wrapping up the book of Revelation. And that great chapter in Revelation 21 in the first part of 22 speaks of the grandeur and glory of heaven. And I'm convinced that if we would keep heaven in front of our eyes each and every day, that would help us to remain faithful to the Lord. It's possible that if a Christian doesn't make it to heaven, it's because it's not on their mind. It's not constantly at the forefront of our mind. And so like shooting a gun or shooting a bow and arrow, you're typically going to hit a target if you're aiming at it. And so we constantly have to aim at heaven. And because these things have been on my mind in preparation for the class and things along those lines, I just simply wanted us to spend some time both studying and reading about heaven and singing about heaven this morning. Let's keep it on our mind. I would encourage you, and when you have an opportunity to read Revelation 21 and the first five verses of chapter 22 on a regular basis, just read about heaven. Just keep heaven in front of your mind. Once a month, once every few weeks, just read it and read it again and read it again and just keep telling yourself, this is where I want to go. I live in a world, a physical world, and I see it every day, but through the eye of faith, I'm going to keep my mind on those things that are above. In the scripture reading that we had this morning in Mark chapter 10, you recall there that the rich young ruler had walked away sorrowful. Jesus said, give up what you have and give to the poor and come follow me. And he walked away sorrowful. He didn't want to give up anything. And when this man walked away, Jesus turned to the apostles that were nearby. And he said how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you trust in riches, it's hard to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then that's when Peter spoke up in verse 28 and said, we have left all to follow thee. And his point was, what do we get? If you give up things for you, Jesus, what do we get in the end? And that's a natural question. That's a reasonable question. And Jesus said, in this life, you will get many good things. Some of it will be negative. You will get some persecution. But in the world to come, eternal life. You're going to get heaven. And so if we're willing to give up for Jesus, we get heaven. And that's something that we constantly need to keep in our mind. I believe that in Scripture, God gives us incentives and motivations to live right. And the main one is heaven. We do that in school, right? So what's the incentive to study? What's the incentive to do your homework? What's the incentive to do a project? A grade. We call it a grade. Well, what's that? Well, certain grades lead to certain things like graduation and maybe even going on to college or getting a job. And so in other areas of our life, we have incentives and motivations. Some of you may have a job where your boss from time to time gives you a raise or gives you a promotion or gives you an award or gives you something where you're kind of moving up, so to speak, the ladder. What is that? It's an incentive. It's a motivation. You might move up in rank. You might move up in some position that you currently hold at your job. You might get some sort of an award or plaque or honor. We do that with our children. We give them incentives and motivations for obeying. God does that with us. And the big one is heaven. So let's keep that at the forefront of our mind. If you'll get your songbooks out and turn to number 191, Earth Holds No Treasures. Phil will be leading the songs this morning and I'll be doing some preaching from the scripture. Please have that ready. And let's talk about heaven holds all to me. And let's start with Matthew chapter 5, so you'll have to juggle your Bible and your songbook this morning. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Number one, heaven is a reward to be claimed. Heaven is a reward to be claimed. And what a great reward that will be. We give our children rewards for good behavior. We give students rewards in the form of grades. We give people rewards and incentives so that they will keep doing that good behavior. And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, "Blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall reproach you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." We've been studying that in the book of Revelation with the persecution of first century Christians. "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you." Heaven is a reward to be claimed. You may have gotten some earthly rewards in life. You may have gotten a blue ribbon or a plaque or something that's hanging on your wall, some sort of a honorary an award or prize, but they don't last. I think I've told you before about a blue ribbon that I got in fifth grade one time for a science fair project. It's not blue anymore, and it's got holes in it. The moths have eaten it. It's all messed up. Our rewards don't last. Maybe we've lost some of them in a move or something like that. But heaven is not like that. Heaven is not like an earthly reward. And so Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that we're to run the race and to receive the prize. And Paul writes in Philippians 3:14 that we need to set our eyes on the goal that is before us. We need to set our eyes, James 1:12, on the crown of righteousness. And in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, we need to be faithful unto death, or faithful even to the point of dying, so that we can receive that and we can overcome and we will not be hurt with the second death. Brethren, heaven is a reward to be claimed. Let's sing "Earth Holds No Treasures" together. Turn in your songbooks to number 258. 258, "Home of the Soul." In just a moment, we will sing that. Heaven is a home to be shared. A lot of earthly homes have problems and sorrows. There's a lot of broken homes in our country, unfortunately. But heaven is a home to be shared. In John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, when Jesus, on the night of his betrayal later that evening, is talking to the apostles, and they know that he's going away. And so in John 14, 1, he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Heaven is a heavenly kingdom, Philippians 3:20. It's called God's country in Hebrews 11:8-16. It's God's holy city. We read about that in Revelation 21 this morning in our Bible class. And in 2 Corinthians 5:8, Paul says that I can go and be at home with the Lord. Look at that. Do you like to go home? Do you like to go home? I remember when I was in college, I always enjoyed going home. I always enjoyed going home. You get a home-cooked meal. And mom, clean all your dirty clothes for you. You don't have to do that. Do you like to go home? We all like to go home. Home is where our parents are. Home is where people are there who love us and care for us, and we like to go home. But heaven is a home, will be a homecoming. And we can be with God, and we can be with Christ, and we can be with the Holy Spirit. And we can be with all brethren and loved ones, and maybe even some family members that have gone on before you, that maybe you want to see again or be a part of, we have an opportunity to go home. And there won't be any home problems there. There won't be any fighting. There won't be any troubles. Heaven is a home to be shared. Let's sing Home of the Soul. Please turn in your psalm books to number 202, 202, Beyond This Land of Parting. Heaven is a rest to be taken. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Heaven is a rest to be taken. When we were young and home, Dad would put us to work outside doing some really difficult things, and we would be complaining. And he'd say, well, just work a while. I'll give you a period of rest later. And we've got to learn to work first. And young people, learn to work first. I'm talking about physical work. I'm talking about a job. I'm talking about work hard. Sweat. Get dirty. Get sweaty. Work hard. Nothing wrong with that. It'll be good for you. And get out there and work. And work hard. And there'll be a period of rest later. And brethren, as we go through life as a Christian, there's going to be some work. In fact, if we're thinking, well, being a Christian's not that hard, well, maybe we're not living right. Because when you live it right, it can be hard at times. And we have to work at it. But after we work at it, there's going to be some rest. And our rest in this life is short-lived. I remember when I was in high school, you know, Dad would put us to work outside and we were doing all kinds of hard labor. And he said, now, you can come in and take a break for lunch, but then you got to get right back at it. Of course, I drug my feet during lunch. I ate as slow as I could eat during lunch. But in heaven, it's eternal rest. So don't be afraid to do the work. Elders have to do work. Preachers have to do work. Parents have to do work. It's work to raise children properly. Church members have to do work to be unified with one another. We have to serve each other and care for each other and help each other. That takes work. It's labor. It's work. But one day we will have rest. And heaven is a rest to be taken. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9, there remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God, heaven. For he that entered into his rest, God, has himself also rested from his works as God did. The person who enters into heaven, verse 10, is going to be just like God when God rested after creating the world in Genesis chapter 2, 1 and following. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man should fall after the same example of disobedience. Earlier in the chapter, he had been talking about the Israelites disobeying God and not making it into Canaan land. We've been studying in the book of Revelation. Turn with me to chapter 14 and verse 13. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow with them. They may rest from their labors. Don't give up now. Keep working hard. That rest will come one day. Here it is short-lived, but not in heaven. It'll be for eternity. Let's sing together, Beyond This Land of Parting, Losing and Leaving, Lies the Summer Land of Bliss. Just keep your psalm book open there. We're going to sing number 203 in just a minute, Above the Bright Blue. Heaven is an inheritance to be received. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Sometimes people in this life will receive an inheritance from their parents. Sometimes they won't. But an earthly inheritance doesn't last very long. Heaven is eternal, and an inheritance is given from parent to child, and we have a heavenly Father, and He wants to give us an inheritance. And right now our inheritance would be things like forgiveness of sins and the local church and answered prayer and the Word of God, but we're going to have an eternal inheritance. Our Heavenly Father is making sure that He is laying up an inheritance for us, and it's not going to go anywhere. Sometimes parents will burn through their children's inheritance, and then there's nothing left. And that's their choice. I'm not going to enter into any discussion of that. That's between them and their children. But God's not going to do that. I just simply say that to say that God's not going to do that. God has set aside an inheritance, and in 1 Peter, Peter says that it is incorruptible, undefiled, and fades not away. That fades not away comes from a Greek word from which we have a flower, the amaranth flower. When you cut the amaranth flower and you put it in a vase, it typically will not fade. It's one of the few flowers that'll stay that bright color even though you've cut it. It's interesting. It's a flower that literally means will not fade. And we get that expression there. Not fading away, reserved in heaven for you. It's not going anywhere, brother. And that's why we keep being faithful to serve our Father. We're children. 1 Peter 1, in the same chapter, we are children of obedience. And we have a Father. And we need to be faithful to our Heavenly Father because He has an inheritance for us as children. And it's not going anywhere. Our earthly inheritance may come or it may not come. It may be lost. It may be spent quickly. But not in heaven. And so it's an inheritance to be received. But we've got to be the faithful children. Look at the same chapter, verse 14, as children of obedience. So let's obey so that our Heavenly Father can give us that inheritance. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. What a great thing that heaven is in store for us. Let's sing together this morning Above the Bright Blue. Please turn in your psalm books to number 688, Paradise Valley. 688, Paradise Valley. And all of the altos, feel free to sing out. Heaven is a paradise to be enjoyed. There are some beautiful places in this world. Maybe you've traveled to some of them. Some of you have been to Hawaii. Some people go to Tahiti, Bali. Phil, where did y'all go recently? Tahiti. A lot of pretty places, I'm sure, in the world that you could go to. But nothing is compared to the paradise of heaven. In Revelation chapter 22, what was lost with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden is regained in Jesus Christ in heaven. And if you go back and read Genesis 1 and 2, it's a beautiful place. Everything was provided for them there. They had plenty to eat. It was a beautiful garden. They had work to do, which is important. But it was a beautiful place that was provided for them in every kind of way. And they chose to give all of that up. To listen to a lie. To give into the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. They gave all of that up. And in Genesis chapter 3, they're cast out of the garden. Well, the whole plan of salvation, the whole Bible is about how that you can come back into that garden. God has always wanted a garden where He can walk among His people in a beautiful place, not an ugly place. And so there are still some beautiful places on this earth, but we're reminded of Genesis 3. We're reminded every time you have thorns and thistles and every time you go out and have to pull weeds. I told Mason, I said, I'm glad you're home for the weekend. I need you to help me weed one of my flower beds. Weeds. So we're reminded in this world that there are some ugly things due to sin. But we want to enjoy a place of paradise that is more beautiful than anything you have ever seen in your life. Revelation 22, verse 1, and he showed me a river of the water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street thereof, and on this side of the river, and on that was the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruits, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no curse anymore. You can go to Tahiti, and I've never been there. I've heard it's beautiful. But you're still going to be around people that have sin in them. You're still going to be around people where there's a problem, even in a beautiful physical environment. In heaven, it's beautiful, and there is no sin. There is no curse. There's no unrighteousness there. There's no uncleanness there. And so even if you were to go to a physically beautiful place in this world, there's still going to be sin there. This is a true paradise. And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein, and his servants shall serve him. This is the word for religious service. This is praising God. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night no more, and they need no light of lamp, neither light of sun, for the Lord God shall give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Turn back with me to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. Revelation 2, 7. When Jesus, through John, is writing to the church at Ephesus, they had lost their first love. They didn't care about the Lord anymore and his brethren. They had other things going on in their life, and they weren't loving like they should. And Jesus tells them to repent. What will they get if they overcome this lack of love? To him that overcomes, to him will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Let's keep our eyes focused on heaven so that we can go to that place. Phil, if you'll lead our song, Up in Paradise Valley, and you think about that. It's far greater than anything we can witness in this life. And then one last point, and the lesson will be yours. Heaven is a life to be experienced, unlike any life that we have. Jesus told Peter and the others that if you're willing to give up for me in the life to come, eternal life. Eternal life is not just a long life. Those in hell, fire, that's going to be eternal. What makes it eternal life is a completely different kind of life that we've never experienced before. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21, and we're going to read verses 1 and down through verse 7. Our earthly life is good. Have you ever had a really good day? You know, you're like, wow, that was a really good day. And maybe your wife topped it off with a really nice dinner at night or something like that. And you're sitting back going, wow, that was a really nice day. You can have, quote, a good day, but we still know that somewhere there's problems or issues or things that we have to deal with. Heaven is going to be a completely different experience that we've never, ever experienced before. And go ahead and turn in your psalm books to number 194 when we all get to heaven, 194. It's going to be completely different. What a day of rejoicing it will be. It's a completely different lifestyle or life experience that we've never experienced before. Jesus says through John, it's a new heaven and a new earth, a completely different quality of life. And then the holy city coming down out of heaven adorned as a bride for her husband. Look at verse 3. I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. There's not going to be anything that separates us from God. Right now, we don't physically see God. But in that day, we will be around his throne, and it'll be an immediate presence. And in 1 John chapter 3, John says that when Jesus comes, we will see him as he is. I almost want to sing face to face. It's going to be a completely different experience. Now we see God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit by the eye of faith. Then it will be in their direct presence. And whatever that glorious presence that God has for us, you can get a taste of some of that if you read Revelation 4. And this glorious, majestic God on the throne there. But we're in the immediate presence. That's one thing that is different. Now it's the eye of faith. Then it's an immediate presence and fellowship. And then number four, he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. You can have a great day and maybe a great week and maybe a great month, but every once in a while you're still going to cry. You're still going to have a tear. There's still going to be some problem that comes up. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. No spiritual death, no sin, no physical death. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. We went to Beckett's birthday party yesterday, and the kids were running around in the house chasing each other, and Wells falls into the coffee table. Boy, he was carrying on crying. I felt sorry for the little guy. He was really hurting. Crying, pain, all kinds of things come up. There's no more of that. No more. The first things are passed away. All of the things that you're experiencing in your life right now, it's gone. And he that sitteth on the throne, God said, behold, I will make all things, not some things, not most things, all things new. It's a completely different experience that you have never experienced before. Write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said unto me, they are come to pass. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Turn to chapter 22. As we read earlier, we're going to be able to serve him day and night in a land where there is no night there. You've never experienced that. We always get a nighttime. We always get that. Constant light from God. It's a completely different experience. So eternal life is not just simply age-lasting or eternal in the standpoint of time, but it's the quality and the things that are going on there that are completely different than what we have been able to experience in this life. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7, verse 15, speaking of the righteous in heaven, therefore they are before the throne of God. That's not something that we can experience right now. But we're going to be able to be right there. And they serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sits on the throne shall spread his tabernacle over them. That figure comes up again in chapter 21, heaven like a tabernacle. They shall hunger no more. If Chris doesn't finish here in a minute, somebody's going to be walking out. They need lunch. I want to wrap it up here. But we get hungry, but no hunger anymore, neither thirsting anymore, neither shall the sun strike upon them, nor any heat. When I was in Baytown, Texas, that is the hottest place. What is going on here? And I was driving up and down the street, and I was asking the preacher, what is with all of these signs? They're all faded. Just pick any sign in town, McDonald's, Kroger. They're all faded. What is going on here? He said, it's the sun. It's just hot, beating down sun in Baytown, Texas, and the humidity matches the temperature. I couldn't wait to get back to Middle Tennessee. We have heat and humidity, but not like that. No more sun. It's a completely different experience striking upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them into fountains, or unto fountains of waters of life, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. It's a completely different experience. So that's why we have to keep being faithful so that we can go to be there. Let's sing together when we all get to heaven. And then we'll close. We're going to sing the song of encouragement here in just a minute. So I close this morning by just simply asking a few questions. Number one, why would any faithful Christian give all of this up? Why would any faithful Christian give all of this up for some temporary thing in the world? Let's not do it. It's not worth it. Don't give it up. And number two, why would any unfaithful Christian not want to get all of this back? Maybe someone has become a child of God and they've erred and they've left and they're now back in the world. Let's go talk with them about these things and just say, why wouldn't you want all of this back in your life? And number three, if there's someone here this morning that is not a child of God, why would you not want to make all of this your own by coming and putting on Christ in baptism? Heaven holds all to me and to you. Let's keep it in the front of our mind. And if there's someone here this evening, this morning, and you realize you're not on that track, we can help you to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins scripturally. If we can help you to come back to the Lord, or if we can help each other to remain faithful, let us do that. Why won't you come as we stand and sing if you're in need of the invitation?